Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Renewed Hope by Cameron Pione. Can they find her son in time? Sophie Kayes is on the road to success as an artist, until her ex-husband threatens to sue for full custody of their son. Upon learning of a guest ranch in eastern Washington that keeps a room open for women in need, she grabs her son and bolts. Although Chad Davis loves starting cults on the seven-time guest ranch, his goal is to have his own spread. Everything's on course until a woman and her preschool son show up. He's not thrilled about helping out, until the boy comes up missing on his watch. Along with a tribal cop, they head back to Montana in search of the boy, knowing his dad was the one who kidnapped him. Sophie prays they find him before her ex-husband and his new wife go on the run, taking her son with them.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, I'm talking with award-winning author Carmen Pione, who lives with her tribal husband Joe on the Colville Confederated Indian Reservation in Northeast Washington. So welcome to my show, Carmen.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, Sarah.
So you live on an Indian reservation, or a Native American reservation, I guess is more accurate. How do you like that? I'm just curious. It has nothing to do with writing, but
it was an adjustment because I was raised in Spokane, in the Spokane Valley. And so to come to the reservation, it was almost like camping every day. And it's small. We only have like 350 people in our town of the reservation. The reservation is huge, 1.4 million acres. But we live in, and we lived up at the lakes, Twin Lakes. And so it really felt like we were camping every day. And it's a beautiful place to raise my children. And it's rich in culture and just, there's a heavy Catholic presence here, and there's just a lot of love.
So you must have really great places to for reading or reflecting on your current work in progress. So where do you go? How do you pick?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes, you know, in the summer, I'll just be outside, especially in the morning or the evening. But, you know, to have my office overlooks mountains, trees, hills, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, so...
And I'm able to write in the mornings and in the evenings, which is best. Mm-hmm. I write full time, but so I can kind of pick and choose, but it's very peaceful because our nearest neighbor is a half a mile, and so we're just... And we live on a hill, and so we can see up the Columbia River, can see the sun setting, we can see the sun rising. It's very inspirational for writing, too.
So you mentioned that you write full-time, so do you still have trouble fitting writing into your day? Because it sounds like you probably have other things to do as well as write.
I do. Because I have grandkids here as well, and so I try to be available to help with them. I have two horses. One is rideable, and the other one is 23 and has a shoulder injury, so we don't ride him much. And so it's more of making sure I fit in time to ride my horse. Because once I get going on the riding, as you probably know, it can be hard to stop when you're really into something.
Yeah, so you instead of struggling with finding time to write, you're struggling with finding time to ride your horse.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny, Carmen.
Especially this last year because I was busy launching book one and two and, you know, with all the rewrites and trying to start a whole new series and everything. But the one thing I love about riding my horses is that it's a break. It's a rider's break. And so I could just, you know, rejuvenate my creativity, just jump on and go for a quick ride, or even just go out and spend time with them is a good writer's break.
Yeah, and it sounds like, at least from the description of one of your more recent books, Renewed Hope, that you horses figure into your writing, into your stories as well.
Yes. Yeah, tremendously. All of my books are Western romance, or I have young adult as well that are historical, and one is contemporary, and they all have horses in them, because that's been my life for probably a good 25 plus years. My husband was raised on his grandpa's ranch on the reservation, and he actually was a saddle bronc rider, and two of our kids saddle bronc rode, and then two of them don't really have anything to do with horses, but they're a big part of my life.
If I could have had a horse, Carmen, I would have, but unfortunately that was not what I could do where I was living in the city.
Well, I get that, because my first love of horses came when we lived in Spokane, but my aunt and uncle had them, and they showed Arabians, and so that's where my love came. And I got my first horse at 16, and then, you know, there's a time period where we didn't have horses until we moved to the place that we're in now, and we did get horses, and then my dad kept his horses there, and we've had, you know, various horses on and off. I think at one time we had seven here, six and a mule, my dad's mule, and then we're just down to the two, and one is rideable. So
right. Yeah. So it sounds like your go-to when you need to pick me up is to jump on the back of your horse and go enjoy all that gorgeous scenery you have around you.
Yes, because I don't even have to haul out. We put in a gate to the perimeter fence, and so I can go out into the woods and ride. I can go actually ride down to the river. And, you know, you can spend a good 3 hours out there just, or you can, you know, go on a little loop, because they have logging roads out there as well. And part of it is Hancock land, and part of it is private land, who my friend owns. And so, you know, there's a lot of room to ride without even to haul out. So even if I'm just, need an hour break, I can just go jump on and, you know, go out for a little bit and come back.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be jealous here. So let's talk about the location and setting of your romantic suspense novels. How do you pick it, and is it where you live?
You know, interesting. And this kind of ties in, I didn't always dream of being a writer. In fact, I didn't even start writing until I moved to the reservation, worked with an elder for 3 years learning the language. And, you know, my mother-in-law is a full blood, even though she lives in Canada. You know, it just seeps into you because you live here in an environment.
Right.
And I worked in the school system. I subbed every grade and whatever, and was involved with the after-school program. And we would bring in elders to tell stories or talk, you know, about cultural and traditional things. And that's why I started off with young adult books, because I worked with youth, and then recently added the romance. And so, my books are set mostly on or around the Colville Reservation. And then with book two, I branched out into the Umatilla Reservation down by Pendleton, Oregon, which is in eastern Oregon. And then for Renewed Hope, the book that releases February 6th, branched out to Montana and the Flathead Reservation near Polson, Montana.
So this is just a curiosity question, because I love history, and I'm just curious, so I'm just going to ask it. So the are all the reservations basically run the same, or are they all kind of different? I mean, so I'm asking, you live on one reservation. Did you have to do a
yes.
lot of research about how the other ones were run, or are they pretty much you could use some of your general knowledge about where you lived? I'm wondering,
no,
what translated, what didn't?
right. And no, there's, you know, even for my book set on the Colville Reservation, I had to read and talk, you know, read books written by Native Americans, biographies or, you know, about the area. And same with Umatilla. I have a friend down there, and so, you know, I talked to them. And, you know, same with Montana. I went back there. And the reason I even said it in Polson, Montana, is because when my husband worked for Bonneville Administration as a liaison between Bonneville and tribes, you know, surrounding tribes in surrounding states, that we would go over for the river honoring, which actually is a scene in the book. And so my characters mm-hmm. actually go to the river honoring, which is a festival for kids to learn about natural resources. And I had gone back a couple of years, and then my husband and I went on a research trip. And then he wanted to see Hungry Horse Dam, and so we went up to there. And so then I added that in there as well.
Mm.
So it was really fun. But no, you know, all reservations have their own governments, and they're sovereign. Their governments
right,
are
right.
sovereign. So, but, you know, they can be similar, but they're also unique. Yeah. And they work together. You know, the state,
right.
the ones in each state actually work together. So.
Yeah. I knew they were all sovereign and I knew they had their own governments. I
mm-hmm.
just wasn't sure how similar they might be and how much you had. So it sounds like you basically had to, do as much research if you didn't know what was, you know, if you had never been there or never lived on a,
right.
on a reservation. So, okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just
yeah.
curious. It's just always interesting the things that we writers need to research to get right in our stories. So,
exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time, Carmen, but what is one of your favorite ways to connect with readers? How do you love to connect with readers?
I love to show up and meet people face to face, you know, and that's weird as an introvert, but it's true. I love to talk with people. I love to go to craft fairs or other book events and just talk, you know, one-on-one and get to know my readers and what they like and, you know, get to know them. So it's fun.
Yeah, and readers and listeners to this podcast can find out ways to connect with Carmen with the notes to this podcast. So thank you so much again for being on my show.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been a huge blessing. I appreciate you.
So you can listen for an excerpt from Renewed Hope after this, and I hope that you'll join me next time.
Now an excerpt from Renewed Hope by Carmen Pione. Saturday, May 1st, late morning. Sandpiper Art Gallery and Gifts, Polson, Montana. Sophie Kay's tummy twisted when she read the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women Celebration leaflet, MMIW for short. Jeanette, one of the gallery's consortium members, had given her the brochure before Sophie taught her morning art lesson. Her angst heightened at the thought of standing on the stage in Elmo talking about Bria's murder. All eyes on her. In 7 days. She hugged herself. Nope, a hard pass. Besides, her hands were full with her abusive ex-husband's attempt to rip Basin away from her. She set the flyer on the work table next to a tote of paintbrushes. I can't. Saying her sister's name in a crowd? When she couldn't even say it in private without unraveling? No way! She plucked a paper towel off the countertop, her body trembling like ripples on a lake in a stiff breeze. She needed to focus on retaining full custody of her son. Think about it, and remember, I got your back. With Basin, with your lessons, with the celebration. Jeanette headed to the gallery showroom. Sophie turned to her art student Natalie when the front door's bell chimed and Matt's deep-timbered voice stormed into the room.
Where's Sophie?
Oh, God, no, not here, not today. Wiping her quivering hands on her apron, she hurried to the gallery. The sight of him made her cringe inside. She couldn't afford a disfigured reputation, not when she needed prestigious galleries and museums to take her seriously.
What are you doing here, Matt?
Sophie glanced at Jeanette and shook her head. Disgust and dread slinked down her throat and settled into her stomach. Why hadn't she turned Matt in for abuse years ago? Then maybe she wouldn't have a custody battle on her hands. She hated how terrified of him she used to be. Still was. Oh, how she'd love to be in a peaceful place where she could paint, and her son could grow up without his vicious father lurking on weekends and holidays. Jeanette slid her cell out of her pocket. Glad her friend had offered to be the bad guy and call the cops if he happened to show up, Sophie kept an eye on her. She hadn't expected Matt to drop in. At least, not today.
Thought you had your pack test.
Got done early.
What about your survival refresher training? Don't they do it all in one day?
You know I have it in the afternoons.
He encroached on her personal bubble, and she took a step back. Then another, feeling like she'd pass out.
I want Basin for the weekend. Olivia wants to take him to the river honoring on Monday morning.
Matt's new wife wants him again? Are you kidding me? No, definitely not.
The river honoring, held by the Flathead River, hosted elementary-aged kids who went from station to station learning various skills about nature, energy, and culture. Certainly no place for a four-year-old with breathing issues.
She wants him all week, actually.
All week?
Her heart punched her ribcage.
It's supposed to rain. You know he has trouble.
Geez, Sophie! He'll be fine. Quit hovering over him like a...
She backed up a step and glared.
Get out of here.
Fine.
Matt always got his way. If not, he'd slap her. She needed to agree with him and get him out of the gallery before he made a scene, before Jeanette called the cops. And she wasn't familiar enough with Natalie to know if the woman would spread gossip or not. She certainly didn't need to be the talk of the res.
I'll bring him over after dinner.
Or not.
No need. Olivia's picking him up at childcare.
Dirty bugger.
The blonde bomb had no business picking up her son. She struggled to keep her tone even.
I didn't agree to her picking him up today.
She's on her way to his daycare now.
He held up his key to her house, the one she'd sworn she'd gotten back.
I'll get his stuff.
He turned with a smirk on his face and left.
No, no, no.
Why had she agreed? Her insides quivering, she rubbed her arms. Why did he come here when a phone call would have sufficed? Jeanette folded her arms over her chest and wandered over to the storefront windows by the door.
He gets a kick out of making people squirm. He's a rotten son of a gun.
I can think of worse things to call that no good.
I'll go finish my lesson, then get...
No.
Go get your son. I'll finish your lesson.
Jeanette headed for the back room. Sophie slid her cell phone out of her apron pocket and called childcare.
Hey! Olivia does not have my permission to pick up Basin. I'm on my way now.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.